Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, God, you're holy and mighty. Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you that we could be here. Lord, we do pray that you would help us today to hear the message of the cross. Lord, that we would understand the message of the cross and know that it is the power of God. Lord, we do pray that as we look at your passage, at your word, God, we do pray that we would be emboldened. That we would be emboldened to preach the word. That we would be emboldened to tell others about Christ. That we would be emboldened to live out Christ in our lives. And God, we pray that you would move in a way that is unmistakable today. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." There are certain things in the world that the world sees and thinks of as powerful, right? There's money, there's power, there's fame, there's popularity. People that have these are looked up to, idolized, and sometimes even worshipped. People spend their lives trying to get rich to the detriment of their families, their well-being, and their health. Kids want to be like their favorite singer, actor, or sports star. Some will risk it all for power, and many would take others' possessions, freedoms, and liberties to increase their own power. You see, the city of Corinth was no different. As this city was bustling with all manner of business, the wealth and sin, they saw wisdom and rhetoric as power. And if you don't know what rhetoric is, it means if you don't know, it means the art of effective or persuasive speaking or writing. Someone who could speak well or write well and kind of persuade you with their speaking. Philosophers and Stoics were seen as especially wise and influential. Right? They had these great minds and great thoughts, and people looked up to them. So it was in this context that Paul wrote this letter. And if you have your sermon outline, there's no outline there, but you can write down number one. It is, what is the power of God? What is the power of God? When we look at verse 18, he tells us right here, "For the word of the cross is folly." The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Apostle Paul wrote here that the power of God is the word of the cross. The message of the cross is the gospel. We see in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, "For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." So the word of the cross is what you think it is. God sent His one and only sinless Son, Jesus, to die the shameful death on the cross for the sins of His people. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, for some reason my T's aren't working well today. Jesus of Nazareth There we go. Was a carpenter, right? But he was also God incarnate. Dying on a cross was just plain silly to those who thought so much of wisdom. The cross was foolishness because dying on a cross was the most shameful way to die in the Roman Greco world. Why would a deity willingly die such a lowly death? And I said a deity because they had many gods, right? And if you wanted your God to come and sit alongside their God, that's fine. But to say that there was one God was terrible, right? Because Caesar was also a god, right? No, he wasn't, but they thought he was, and you were supposed to worship him as God. And so when you say that Jesus is the only way, they would take offense to that. But since the cross was so looked down upon, this is why the message of the cross or the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Why in the world would the Messiah go to a cross? Even today, the world sees the cross as foolishness. It does. I was in the gym about 2 years ago, and I was having a conversation with a young fellow. He was a student at Southeastern. And we started talking, and in our talks, you know, I said I was a pastor, and he said, okay, well, I'm a moralist. And I was like, a moralist, huh? He said, yeah. He said, I believe in morals. He didn't believe in any gods, right, a god or any god, but he believed in morals. So first thing I asked him was how does that work when morals come from God? And that's another story for another day. But then we got on the question about the cross and about giving your lives for Christ. And he said, well, isn't it true that if you're persecuted that you should give your life for Jesus? And I was like, yeah, that's true. He said, well, that just seems weak to me. I was like, weak, huh? He said, yeah. He said, I'm not a Muslim, but the Muslims believe that they can kill for their faith, and that seems more strong. That seems, you know, more powerful. And I was like, well, that may be what it seems, but it's not. Because, you know, Muslims are believing in a fake God. But we see how the world looks on the cross of Christ and how we are seen and how we should obey the cross of Christ, even to death. And the world looks on that as weak and foolishness. Why in the world would I want that? Why in the world would I want to give my life for somebody? Why in the world would I believe in a God who died? Not only died, but died a horrible death. The worst kind of death. The message of the cross is weakness and foolishness to the perishing world. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, the cross seems weak and foolishness, but in God, infinite wisdom, he knew that we could not save ourselves. Everyone of all time, except for Jesus, was, is, and will be a sinner. There's no way around it. We are a depraved people who are incapable of not sinning. Guess what? God is a perfect and holy God who does not sin, cannot sin. That's who he is. So how can we, who are a sinful people, go to a sinless, holy God? You see, the standard isn't your neighbor. All right, look at your neighbor. They're not your standard, right? We can compare ourselves to a lot of people. I can compare myself to a lot of people. Say, yeah, I'm better than them. They're not the standard. The standard is God, who is holy and perfect and righteous and just. He is the standard. And so in order to get to a perfect and holy God, you have to be perfect and holy. And God knew that we could not be perfect and holy, so he came down and incarnate Jesus and became what we could not. God is a just God. He is a holy God, and he cannot and will not let sin go. He will punish sin. That is why Jesus went to the cross. and he bled and he died. The cross was painful. But that wasn't the worst part. You think getting whipped so bad and getting your flesh ripped off your bones was bad. Thinking getting nails driven through your hands and through your feet and then dropped in a hole on a cross was bad. Yes, it was bad, but it was not as bad. There was a crown of thorns stuck on his head, and just not like thorns you get in your finger, but these are massive thorns that when they put down, it's just cut and scarred and bled on his head. You know, if you cut yourself on your head, how bad it bleeds? It bleeds worse than any other part of your body, really. But that's not as bad. And that wasn't the worst part. The worst part, why Jesus hung on the cross. For those who believe, your sins and mine were put on his shoulders. He bore the sins of his people. So why he's hanging on the cross and your sin is on him? You can think about a perfect and holy God who has never sinned, all of a sudden having the weight of so much weight of so much sin on his shoulders at one time. Think about how unbearable that would be. Never to know sin, all of a sudden you became sin. And then God pouring out his full wrath on that sin. So not only is your sin on him, but the wrath of God that should be on you is on him. That is the worst part. Bearing the full wrath of God on him. So the world might think the cross foolish. But we know that it is the power of God. Power to save, the power to regenerate sinners. It is the power of God. We see number two is, where is the power of God active? Where is the power of God active? The power of God is active in the mouth of the preacher. The power of God is active in the mouth of the preacher. Now you say, well, that means only once a week I get to hear from the mouth of the preacher. Well, no. You see, because the preacher is the one who is proclaiming the gospel. Right? Not everyone's called to vocational ministry. Not everyone's called to stand behind a pulpit and preach. But that doesn't mean that we should not actively tell about the cross of Christ. It is in the proclaiming of the gospel. Verse 20 and 21 say, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Greeks, they had the wise. For the Jews, they had the scribes. The philosophers of the day would debate ideas and consider what others would say and the thoughts that they would hear and that they would speak. They'd kind of contemplate on what each other says, and they thought that this made them become wise. I think most of it was probably just babble. That sounded right. Which we get that today. But God takes worldly wisdom and puts it on his head with what we preach. We preach Christ crucified. If we look at the end of verse 21, it says, and it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. When we preach the cross of Christ, God takes pleasure in saving those who believe. We can tell our neighbor who's having marital trouble about self-help books. We can tell the drug addict about counseling. We can tell the lost family member who's confused about life and purpose about philosophy. and a bunch of different things. But the power of God is found in the word of the cross. We all have the responsibility to speak, to preach the word of the cross. To our neighbors, to our friends, to those who we come across on the street. We are to tell others about the gospel, to tell others of the wonders of God through the cross of Christ. There is a lost and dying world that does not know God, and God has given us His power when we preach the message or the word of the cross. You see, I hear it all the time. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Not me, but just people when you're talking about evangelizing or just telling people about Jesus and the wonders of Jesus. Well, I'm not an eloquent speaker, they would say. I'm not either. But God used Moses, and Moses was a stutterer, and he was an eloquent speaker. I'm not seminary educated, they say. You don't need to be. Well, I'm not very knowledgeable. Do you know the message of the cross? Do you know the message of the cross? If you don't, go back about 10 minutes and there was the message of the cross. If you know the message of the cross, you know what to say. It may seem scary to preach and tell others the word of the cross, but why? Why does it seem scary? Is it because that they may think you're foolish? Well, guess what? If you do tell people about Jesus and the message of the cross, most times they are going to think you're foolish. Just throwing that out there. Yes, they will reject the message you give them, but guess what? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. So if you don't worry about that, well, don't worry about that, because those who are perishing will seem like it is foolishness. But so what? We are to please God, not men. We're to tell others about Jesus because we are told to. Even if you think it is foolish to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? Will it be easy? No. But it'll be worth it. The world is accepting of all views that are not the cross. Right? They're accepting all views that are not Christ. The culture says inclusivity, right? You need to be inclusive. As long as, and I will, if you're inclusive and you include what I say, then I'll be inclusive and say, believe what you say. And we'll celebrate it together. You need to be tolerant. You need to accept and to celebrate everything that I say and do. If not, you will offend me. That's culture. That's our culture today. If you don't accept what I say and do, then, and not only accept it, but celebrate it, right? Then you're a bigot. Then you're discriminatory. But get this. They are not accepting or inclusive of the cross of Christ. So it is only us who are the bigoted and narrow-minded ones. Why? Because they're perishing. When you say Christ is the only way, people will take offense to that. They will. When you say every knee will bow to Jesus, people don't want to hear that they have to submit to anything. We're so individualistic, it's all about me and my feelings, my, me, why me? That when you say that Jesus is Lord, they do not accept it. They don't want to hear it. So it will be easy. No, it won't be easy. But every knee will bow. Muhammad's knee will bow. Joseph Smith's knee will bow. Buddha's knee will bow. Gandhi's knee will bow. Your knee will bow. My knee will bow. And every other person in this world that's ever lived's knee will bow before Jesus the Lord. So when you go, with the power of God and the message of the cross of Christ, have boldness in the fact that when you speak that, you will have the power of God. Now you need to speak scripture. You need to speak truth. Not just opinions and what you may think. That's not going to work. But in the message of the cross is the power of God. Every knee will bow, some joyfully, others in fear and trembling, others in pure terror. But we have given the task of telling others the gospel. It is good to invite people to church. I love seeing new people in church. I love seeing y'all in church too, by the way. But it isn't the job of the preacher to evangelize from the pulpit. Yes, we preach truth. Yes, if they're in here, they will hear truth. But the Sunday morning gathering, the gathering of the body together, is for the believers to grow in Christ, to be built up in Christ. It is to prepare the congregation to go out into the world to take the message of the cross to the dying world. So yes, they will hear the gospel here. Yes, they will love to. We love people here. But it is your job, and mine when I'm out there, right, to tell others about the cross of Christ. That is what he's told us, to go. Go and make disciples. How? By teaching and by baptizing, right? We need to go out and we need to tell. We need to let people know how wonderful Christ really is. I can tell you about evangelizing, about different experiences I've had. I've been cursed at. I've been yelled at. I haven't been attacked yet. I'm sure that's coming one day, right? But see, the thing is, after those encounters, I don't know what the Lord, in most of those instances, I don't know what the Lord did, right? I don't know if the Lord used that even after the cursing and even after the yelling. The Lord moved in their heart and he made them in a way that they would be accepting of Christ. I don't know that. Most of them that yelled and screamed and hollered, I didn't see again. But maybe somewhere the Lord has made a way for them to be saved. Right? If you go and tell people about Jesus and the cross of Christ, they may think you're dumb. They probably will think you're dumb. They may get angry, right? Because the cross of Christ goes in complete opposition to what they believe. They may be nonchalant. Whatever. They may even try to beat you. But guess what? It's just part of the territory of serving Christ. What makes us better than our master? Now we get back to the cross of Christ. What did our master go through? He went through ridicule, scorn. Then he went through beatings. He went through all the way up into the cross. What makes us better than him? If you don't think that the Christians should suffer, read 1 Peter. It's all about suffering. But we're not to worry about that. We're not to worry about if we're going to suffer for Christ or not. What we should worry about is doing what the Lord tells us to do. And just loving him and glorifying him. You know one of the ways to glorify him? Tell him about it. Tell people about it. I probably used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again. because I'm good at that, repeating the same story again and again and again. I love my daughter, right? And I will show her picture everywhere I go. I probably don't do it as much as her mom and her Mimi does. And maybe you have grandkids or children, right? You meet somebody new. Guess what? Check out a picture of my grandchild, right? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look what they did. Right? So proud to tell them about your grandchild, your child, your nephew, your niece, your dog. I get that a lot. You know, people love their dogs. How many times we say, let me tell you about my Jesus, right? I can show you my daughter, I can show you my grandchild, I can show you my dog, but you know, I keep Jesus to myself. When do we jump on the opportunity? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the wonderful things he did in my life. Let me tell you about the wonderful things that he did on the cross. The cross? Well, that's just foolishness. Well, let me tell you what the cross accomplished. What he had to go through to accomplish what he accomplished on the cross. Are you willing to do that? To activate the power of God through the message of the cross? When we look at verse 22 through 24, it says, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the Christian, the cross of Christ is looked upon with great reverence. But for the Corinthians, they would not look upon the cross positively. The cross would be looked down upon because the cross was the worst kind of capital punishment. It was reserved for the insurrectionists and the most terrible criminals. But guess what? Our Lord was put on it. And by law, no Roman citizen would ever be put on a cross. That is why when the Apostle Paul was murdered, he was beheaded because he was a Roman citizen. And so as they took Peter and put him on an upside-down cross or put Andrew on the X-shaped cross, they beheaded Paul because he was a Roman citizen, because the cross was so terrible. So you say a crucified Christ. A crucified Christ is supposed to save sinners? The Messiah on a cross? That was a contradiction to the Greeks who emphasized power and strength. That is weakness and foolishness. To the Jews, Deuteronomy 21:23 says, his body shall not remain all night on a tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. So Messiah crucified. That couldn't be. This is folly, not wisdom. This is foolishness. Read Deuteronomy. But for those who are called, both Jew and Greek, the power of God and the wisdom of God is the cross of Christ. So everyone who is called will not think it as foolishness. Some may at first think it as foolishness until God works on their heart. So who is called? We don't know. That is why we need to live out the power of God in our lives by telling others about the cross of Christ. That's why we tell everybody about the cross of Christ. Yes, plant that seed. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Right? So we can plant, we can water, but the increase is up to God. We just have to trust him. We've got to do what we're told and trust him for the rest. Tell others the cross of Christ and let God do his work. Because in the power of the cross, in the cross of Christ is the power of God. And I just love that. I love that. Some of the When you have a great conversation about the Lord with someone, I don't know if there's really any better feeling than that. Someone you meet, someone you may know, someone you may know very well. And even if they reject the message, which many, most will, but even if they reject the message, God would bless the telling of the cross of Christ. We're going to have a time of invitation, and if Christ has moved on your heart today to know Him, I pray that you'd come. If you want to come after service, I'd love to talk to you then or later on. I'd love for me or Brother Corey, either one, to talk to you about it. If you need prayer about anything, I would love to pray with you today. Whatever the Lord leads, please follow. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we give you praise. Lord God, we give you praise for the cross of Christ. Lord, it is by the cross that we are redeemed, that we are regenerated, that we are made alive in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would not be thinking it foolishness, but know it to be true wisdom. The wisdom of the world is not true wisdom. The wisdom of God is true wisdom, Lord. So I pray that you would help us to see that it is true wisdom in the cross of Christ. And give us the boldness to go out and to tell others of what you do and have done, God, and what you have made a way for. Again, we pray that you would lead us in our everyday lives, guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray that we would know who and how to pray for people who may be lost. It's in Jesus' name, amen.